Welcome to Tardi Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Schmidman. Are you looking for a thought to share at your Seder? Then please join us for Haggadah Insights this Wednesday night, March 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern with Chana Cohn, Rebbetzin Rivka Siegel, Dr. Chaya Sima Konigsberg, and Ayelet Shachar. Sign up at ouwomen.org/Pesach26. And Mazel Tov on the upcoming completion of Sefer Shoftim. Join us at the Siyum with Mrs. Chana Leah Rappaport this Thursday, March 26th at 12 p.m. Eastern. Register at ouwomen.org/Siyum. Wishing you a Chag Kasher V'Sameach. And now for today's Perek.
Welcome to Torati Machanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Chana Leah Rappaport, and today we will be learning Sefer Shoftim, Perek Yud Zayin, Chapter 17. The next five prakim that end the Sefer are different than everything that has come before. It tells two stories, the story of Pesel Micha, the idol of Micha, and Pilegesh Begiva, the concubine in Giva. All the other stories that we've learned focus on the cycle. The Jews turn away, Hashem sends an enemy, the Jews do tshuva and they cry out, Hashem sends a shofet, he sends a redeemer. This one does not focus on the leader. It totally disregards the leader. We don't even know who the leader is. There isn't a leader. The other ones all talk about the nations from the outside and how they came in and how we had wars, but here we get a glimpse on what's going on inside the Jewish nation. There is no time given for these stories because it is symbolic of the time. It's endemic of the time, a time of lawlessness, an era of Ein Melech B'Yisrael. We have leaders, of course, we've learned through many of the leaders, and some of them were very good leaders, stars. They shone through the darkness and they gave us something to hold on to, but then passed and faded, and there wasn't anything permanent and there wasn't anything structured. According to Chazal and many of the commentators, these two events did not happen here at the end where they are placed. They happened at the beginning of the Sefer. In fact, it likely happened during the time between Yehoshua's death and the time that Asniel ben Kenaz, the first of the Shoftim, becomes the leader. There were 7 years where there really wasn't a leader at all in the Jewish nation. But again, these two stories could have happened at any time. And they reflect on two different types of averos that the Jewish nation did. There were the Bein Adam Lamokom, meaning the mitzvos that relate to our relationship with Hashem, and the Bein Adam L'Chavero, the way that we relate to our fellow man. Pesel Micha is Bein Adam Lamokom, man and God, and Bein Adam and the Pilegesh Begiva is Bein Adam L'Chavero, man and their friends. We have many proofs from the story that this must have happened at the beginning of Sefer Shoftim. For example, in the next parak we'll see, a main part of the story is that there's an entire Shevet Dan that is looking for somewhere to live. Now, this wouldn't make sense to be happening at the end when the land has already been settled for hundreds of years. It's also going to say that Pesel Micha was there all the days of Mishkan Shiloh. Yehoshua is the one who set up Mishkan Shiloh. So if it says all the days of Mishkan Shiloh, it can't really be that it was set up at the end of Mishkan Shiloh, at the end of this era of Shoftim. So why would Shmuel put it here at the end of the Sefer? And perhaps it's because he didn't want to start with this terrible genus of Bnei Yisrael. He didn't want to start off the Sefer right away saying how terrible they were, which teaches us that when we tell stories, we also have to be careful with how we say things and where we place them. One more point before we get into the story. It seems important to Chazal to connect Pesel Micha, this idol of Micha, with something that the Jews had already taken out of them from Mitzrayim. They say that it was with them by Yamsuf. They say that it was with them by Chet HaEgel. It was part of Chet HaEgel. And it seems hard to understand this because we're going to learn how Pesel Micha came to be, but it seems like what was with them at the Yam Suf and certainly by the Egel is that what the Jews wanted was not to rebel against Hashem. They wanted to serve Hashem, but they wanted to serve him through something tangible. They were having a very hard time back then by Chet HaEgel and throughout the Tkufa of the Shoftim and really throughout the whole period of time until the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination for serving idols, was finally taken away at the time of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, or the first temple, because we couldn't handle it anymore. We don't understand this attraction. We can't understand the draw. But the attraction was real. The challenge was real. This nation is very young. Hashem is not visible. I don't know who I'm serving. I don't know how I'm serving. I don't hear you respond to me. I don't know what you want from me. And everyone around them is turning to gods, gods of rain, of fire, of life, of fertility, of war. They are heavily influenced by the nations that are around them. And even from the fact that just until recently, they too were serving idols. This whole story of Pesel Micha is sad from beginning to end. A story of those with misguided intentions who want to do good, but they make their own rules. Who was this Micha who we're going to be talking about? Chazal tell us that he actually came out of Mitzrayim. He must have been under 20 when they went into the Midbar, because everyone between the ages of 20 and 60 died in the Midbar, which would make him pretty elderly by the time the story happens. One story that Chazal tell us about who was this Micha is that in the time of the Egyptians, when the Jews were not able to fill their quantity of bricks that they were supposed to build, that the Egyptians cruelly would take babies and use them in the place of bricks, meaning they would stuff them into the empty spots in the walls to spur the Jews to go quicker and to build. It was a terrible, terrible decree that they said, whatever bricks are not built, we're going to use babies. And when Moshe saw this, he turned to Hashem and he said, how could you, Hashem? How could these innocent little babies die? How is this decree allowed? And Hashem said, everything is with a plan, but I will let you choose one of the babies, pull him out of the wall and save him. You will see that he is not going to end up doing good for his nation. And according to Chazal, this baby turns out, grows up to be Micha. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1. Vayhi ish mehar Ephraim ushmo Michayahu. His name was not Micha at the beginning, it was Michayahu, which means that he has the name of Hashem attached to his name, which means that he starts out worthy of having Hashem's name attached to his name. What was his worthiness? Why was he a good person? As we will see, he was a machnes orchem. He excelled in taking care of guests, and he was a spiritual person as well. And we'll see that he pushes back at the beginning. Vayomer li'imo, and he says to his mother, Elef umeya hakesef asher lukach lach, you had 1,100 silver coins taken away from you. Va'at alis, and I heard you swear, v'gam amart ba'aznai, you swore and you swore in front of me. Probably because you suspected that I might have been the one that stole the 1,100 silver coins from you, and you cursed the person who took the money. Hine hakesef iti, you were right, I did take the money. Ani lekachtiv, I took it. Vatomer imo, and his mother now gets scared, she cursed her own son, Baruch b'ni l'Hashem, you should be blessed to Hashem. And then, Pasuk Gimel, Vayoshev es elef umeah hakesef li'imo, he gives the money back to his mother, the 1,100 coins. Vatomer imo, but his mother says, no, please don't give me back the money. Hakdesh hikdashti es hakesef l'Hashem. When the money still was stolen, I said that if the money comes back, I'm going to give it to Hashem, miyadi livni. From my hand, I'm giving it back to you, my son. What do I want you to do with this money? La'asot pesel umasecha. To make an idol. It's a hewn image, a graven image. I want you to take the money. Now, it's a lot of money. We know it's a lot of money because in the last parak, 1,100 silver coins is all it took to get Delilah to betray Shimshon. And I want to take this money to give it to who? To Hashem? To do what? To build an idol. Va'ata ashivenu lach. So I'm giving it back to you. You're going to be in charge of this Avodah Zarah. She uses Hashem's name, Hashem's will. I'm connected to Avodah Hashem. That's her goal. She's dedicating this large sum of money. It seems to have started with good, if not pure, intentions. There really was no one to protest at the starting stages of the Jewish nation. Perhaps if there was someone like Shaul HaMelech, who we're going to learn, goes out to find the witches, or the other kings, the good kings of Yehuda, who go around destroying the Avodah Zarah. But here, in a little corner in someone's house, Avodah Zarah is not noticed, and even if it was, it wasn't reacted to. They didn't feel like they were abandoning Hashem. It's Hashem is high, too high, so we have to bring it down a little so that we can relate to it. Pasuk Dalet, verse 4, Vayashav es hakesef li'imo. He says, no, I don't want to have anything to do with this. I'm giving you back the money. Vatikach imo masayim kesef, and she takes 200 silver coins. We'll have to talk about what happens to the other 900. Vatitneu latzaref, and she gives it to the silversmith. Vayaasehu pesel umasecha, and he turns it into a pesel umasecha. And then she gives it to him, Vayihi bebeis michayahu, and she puts it in his house. Why 200 silver coins? It could be that his arguments, Micha's arguments with his mother, actually have an impact, and she decides she's only going to use 200. Or the 200 is the payment to the tzoref, and the 900 is what he melts it down to actually make the pesel umasecha. Or perhaps, a little bit cynically, once she had the money back, she wasn't so quick to use it all for the avodah zarah. But whatever the case is, she builds the avodah zarah. And even though he said he wants nothing to do with it, he allows it to be in his house. Va'ish Micha, and for to the man Micha, now he's already Micha, because he's led it into his house, lo beis Elohim. He had a beis Elohim. Now there's a big question about how to read that word. Is it a beis Elohim or beis Elokim? Meaning, the Mishkan is in Shiloh. That's where they have to go to bring the karbanos. But again, they're craving this. We want a way to serve Hashem, but like here in our homes. And they would build these little homes, these little beis Elohims, where they can have this place that they can go to have that relationship. Could be it's beis Elokim, and it could be it's still there predating the Mishkan and Shiloh, where they were allowed to bring karbanos up wherever they were in Eretz Yisrael. Most say to read it as a beis Elohim. And now we're going to see that the downfall is going to come. He allows it into his house, and then vayas ephod utrafim, he adds to it, and he builds more idols to go with it. Vayimale esyad echad mi banav. Not only that, he takes one of his sons, vayihi lo lechohen, and he says, now you're going to be the kohen. You're going to be the one who's going to be the priest for this house of idols that has become. The road down is slippery and quick. How can he make such a mistake? Pasuk Vav. Bayamim haheim ein melech b'Yisrael. Because in those days there was no king. There was no permanent leader. Ish hayashar be'enav ya'aseh. Every person did whatever he thought was right. We find a very sad state of affairs here. A real pathetic mixture of serving Hashem, but according to each person's own perception. The boy steals, the mother curses. The mother's scared of the curse, so she gives a blessing. She goes to build an idol, not against Hashem, but for Hashem, to serve Hashem through something Hashem forbids. He needs someone to be the Kohen, say he takes one of his sons. Yeah, everything is okay, as long as it leads to serving Hashem, but of course, it's not the way we serve Hashem. We don't make up our religion. Hashem tells us what to do, and we do it, and we follow. But here, at this time, Ish hayashar be'enav ya'aseh. Again, these are not bad people. These are people who are trying to serve Hashem, but without the guidance and without the leadership. And then the next step, a Levi comes. Vayihi na'ar mi-beis lechem Yehuda, mi-mishpachas Yehuda. He lives in Beis Lechem Yehuda because the Levim didn't have their own territory. They were scattered amongst the Jewish nation. So this Levi came from the families of Yehuda. That's where he had lived. Vuhu Levi, but he is a Levi. Vuhu Garsham, but he lived there with Yehuda. In the next parak, it's going to tell us his name. Yehonasan, the son of Gershom, the son of Menashe. Now, we're going to see the Nun of Menashe is written differently, which tells us that he's not really the son of Menashe. Take out the Menashe. He's the son of Moshe, meaning Yehonasan, the Levi, is a grandson of Moshe Rabbeinu, the son of Gershom, the son of Moshe. Why is it written Menashe? First of all, not to embarrass Moshe Rabbeinu, and secondly, because it's relating him to the wicked king Menashe, who is going to end up serving a lot of Avodah Zarah, being the propagator of much of Avodah Zarah and a lot of disaster for Klal Yisrael. You want to know roots? We're talking about that Menashe. And this, that he could be, that this Kohen could be a grandson of Moshe, is another proof that this must happen close to the time of Yehoshua. The pasuk starts with Vayihi, Vayihi na'ar mibeis lechem Yehuda, because again, Vayihi always tells us that there's something bad is going to happen. If this Levi hadn't shown up at this moment, this Pesel would likely have faded into obscurity like all the other Pesalim which were made through history. Vayelech ha'ish me'ha'ir beis lechem Yehuda, lagur ba'asher yimtza. He feels like, I'm a person who has a lot of yichus. I come from a prominent family, and I want to find myself a good profession. Meaning, a Levi is a Levi. A Levi is supposed to be serving Hashem. But he needs to get his money from people. People have to give him trumas or maaser. So you had to be a successful Levi in order to have enough food coming in, enough income coming in. And he says, I need to find somewhere to live that they're going to take proper care of me. Vayavo Har Ephraim, and he makes his way to Har Ephraim, ad beis micha la'asos darko, to find his path, to find his way. How does he get to beis micha? He gets there because, like we said, micha was excelled in hachnasas archim, in bringing in guests, and people knew that he would take care of them. Rabbi Nassim says that from the place where Pesel Micha was, up until the Mishkan Shiloh, was not very far away, and the smoke from Pesel Micha would rise and mix with the smoke of Mishkan Shiloh. And the Malachim came to Hashem and they said, destroy Pesel Micha. How could it be that we have smoke coming from Avodah Zarah and from Mishkan Shiloh and they're mixing together? And Hashem says, leave Micha alone because he helps people who pass by the way. He is Shepito Mitzuya La'ovrei Drachim. He always has bread available for anybody who needs it. He is a good person who cares about my people, and therefore we're not going to destroy him. Vayomer lo Micha. Micha says to him, Me'ayin tavo, where are you coming from? Vayomer lo Levi, anoch mi beis lachem Yehuda, v'anochi holech lagor ba'asher amtza. I don't have a destination. I'm going to live wherever I want to live. Wherever I find to live, whoever's going to take care of me, that's where I'm going to live. Ve'yomer lo Micha. Micha says to him, Shva imadi, stay with me. I found a coin. I found a Levi. I found someone from the right family. Ve'yeli la'av v'lakoin. You're going to be the priest. You're going to be the high priest here in my house. Vanochi atein lacha aseres kesef liyamim. Every year you're going to get 10 silver coins. Again, if this is the salary for a year, it tells us exactly how much they were willing to donate to the Avodah Zarah. The erach begodim u'michyasecha, I'll provide you clothing, I'll provide you food. Vayelech Levi. And the Levi went. We see at the beginning, the Levi was not comfortable to do this. The Levi does not want to stay with Micha, but ultimately, Vayo'al ha-Levi l'sheves ha-sa'ish. He agrees to stay with Micha. We know these words because we have them in a different place in Tanakh. Vayo'el Moshe l'sheves ha'sa'ish. When Moshe wants to marry Tzipporah, he agrees to stay with Yisroel, to stay in Yisroel's house. It cannot be that this is a mistake. It cannot be that it just happens to use the same words. Of course, we know there's a connection between Moshe and this Levi. So what is the clue here? What is this? What are the words trying to tell us? There's a medrash that Yisroel said to Moshe, there's two ways of coming to the recognition of Hashem. One is if you're born in it. You're born into a family that serves Hashem. You're born into the Jewish nation. You know that you're meant to serve Hashem. Beautiful. He said, but I discovered a different way. Yisroel said, I served every single Avodah Zarah that there was in the world, and I saw the fallacy. I saw that they're all nothing. And I, on my own, came to the recognition that I should serve Hashem. And it's beautiful. And I want one of my grandchildren, your oldest son, should also follow my path, and he should do it the same way that I did. Expose him to everything in my home, and let him discover Yiddishkeit on his own. It will be a much more powerful Yiddishkeit for him. Of course, Moshe Rabbeinu said, I don't want to do it this way. That's not the way we do it. We have the truth. Why should I expose him to everything that's not real just so that he should come to the truth on his own? You didn't have a choice. You had to go that way. You were born into Midian, but we have the truth. Why should I do this? Ultimately, he was compelled to agree, and he does agree to allow Gershom to be brought up in this environment. Gershom does come to live with Moshe. He does join the Jewish nation. He doesn't become an Ovid of Avodah Zarah. But something remains, as we see. And the lesson for us is how careful we have to be. Of course, we're meant to ask. Of course, we're meant to question. Of course, we're meant to explore. But we don't need to explore every single avodah zarah that there is in the world in order to find our way to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Impact of our influences remain forever. In Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayimale Micha Esiyat HaLevi Vayihi Lo HaNahar LeKohen, and Micha gives this Levi whatever he needs, and the Na'ar becomes his priest, Vayihi BeBeis Micha, and he was in the Beis Micha, and Pasuk Yud Gimel. One more falsehood, Vayomer Micha, Ataya Dati, now I know, Ki Etiv Hashem Li, Hashem is good to me. Hashem likes what I am doing. Ki hayali halevi lekohen. Look, he sent me a kohen. He sent me a priest. What a chashuv, what an important, what an influential person he sent me. This is a sign for me. And we could find signs anywhere when we're following, when we're chasing falsehood, we can find our signs anywhere. This proves to me that Hashem is happy with what it is that I am doing. Thank you for learning in memory of our dear grandmothers, Miriam Schenke, Rochel Friedman, Teresa Schreiber, and Bella Oppenheimer, Aleihem HaShalom, Neshot Chayil, who lived with utmost commitment to Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim, despite the physical and spiritual challenges they faced living in the United States, Israel, or Europe. May their example continue to inspire our families and the families of Klal Yisrael. Nina and Chaim Schenker.